today, God. God, I ask you to fill my lips, God, with your words. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, God, what your Spirit wants to say to us this morning. God, I pray, God, that as we leave here today, God, we can say that I heard from God. And God, I pray, God, that you would help us, God, to not only hear the word, but God, be doers of the word. And God, I thank you for your help. Thank you, God, for your anointing. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. So last week, I was bashing merry-go-rounds last week. So we talked about last week turning and going north. Everybody say, go north.
Go north.
Go north. And so we talked about merry-go-rounds, and I talked about my desire, my hatred for these merry-go-rounds, the first one in particular, these death wheels that they put on our playgrounds all across America. These things that basically, when I was a kid, I was one of the guys who was on the merry-go-round while the big, huge guy spun that thing around as fast as he could to see how fast he could make it go around until people like me would go flying off of this thing. I hated those things. I hated those merry-go-rounds. And actually, it was funny, last week, William looked, piped up and goes, man, I'm really sorry for doing that. William's a big guy, if you don't know William. But these merry-go-rounds, I talked about how I hated merry-go-rounds. And then we talked about these other kind of merry-go-rounds. The beautiful merry-go-rounds, or carousels, as we call them. We don't call them merry-go, they are carousels. And so we talked about these merry-go-rounds. We talked about the interesting thing about merry-go-rounds. They're great. They're not really great. They're okay. But I am more of an adventure guy. How many of y'all are adventure people? Adventure people do not do merry-go-rounds. Adventure people, we do rides like Goliath, right, at Six Flags. We do rides that are big rides, that are adventure-filled rides, that don't take you on the same scenery over and over and over again. We talked about that last week, whenever you're on the merry-go-round. How many of y'all, you are a parent, and one of the parent rode with the kid, and the other parent stood out there, and what did you do? You just went, and he went around the merry-go-round, and he waved at him again as he went by again. And so we talked about how it's the same scenery over and over and over again, and that's why I don't like merry-go-rounds. I like adventure things. Merry-go-rounds are beautiful, they look great, but it's the same scenery over and over and over again. And that's what we talked about last week, that we, our lives, can become like merry-go-rounds. It's the same scenery over and over and over again. We've been around that mountain of anger again and again. We've been around that mountain of addiction again and again. We've been around that mountain of our lukewarm Christian lifestyle. Around the mountain over and over again. And we talked about it's the same scenery. It's the same time. We come to church, we get pumped up, and we leave, and we just seem like it's the same scenery. Over and over and over again. Well, the good thing is you're not alone. There's a group of people back in the Old Testament that were just like you and me. They were seeing the same scenery over and over and over again. That was the children of Israel. God finally speaks up to the children of Israel. They had come out of Egypt, right? They were supposed to come right out of Egypt and go right into the promised land. But through some doubt and unbelief, they went back in the wilderness. A journey that should have taken about 11 days took them about 40 years to finally get into the promised land. So finally, God speaks up and says this. It says, then the Lord, in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn and go north. Now turn and go north. You've made this trip around this mountain long enough. Now turn and go north. He says, now the time, God says, now is the time for you to turn and go to the place I've called you to go. Go into the promised land that God's called you to go. You've been around this mountain long enough. The thing is, the truth of it is, God, for the children of Israel, he had a bigger plan than just hanging around in the desert all those years. God had a bigger plan than just being around in the desert and not experiencing all the good things that were in the promised land that God had for them. Remember, God didn't plan for them to go in the wilderness. God's plan was to go out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, straight into the promised land. So it's like us. Where are we at today? Have we been in this, our state of worry? Worry is like our best friend, right? You're around that mountain long enough. God says, now turn and go north. You've been hovering in that area of fear. What's going to happen? Oh my gosh. Long enough. God says, now turn and go north. Maybe you've rested, we talked about last week, you've rested in your comfort zone. I don't really want to step out and go thing and do something that's different in my life. Because let me tell you something, that merry-go-round is comfortable. That going around that hill country is comfortable. But God's calling you, and you know on the inside that God's calling you to bigger things. But that comfort zone is so nice. Something about going around the same mountain or the same carousel seems really comforting. But God says, no, 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 no. I got something bigger for you. There's bigger things for you to do. I have bigger plans than you just going around that merry-go-round of your life. God had a bigger plan. And we talked about last week, we told the story about this young man who had been different things had happened to him in his life. He'd been all over the place. He is trying to find his life and all kind of different stuff through parties. As a young man, trying to find his life through parties, and he was on his way to this party, and this guy comes out of the grocery store where he had stopped, and he walks up to him, and he says, Jesus told me to talk to you. How awkward is that? How out of your comfort zone is that? Jesus told me to come and talk to you. Well, the person that he talked to, show that picture, the person that he talked to was Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt later started going to church with this guy. He said because something drew him to this guy. Wonder what that something drew him was. So something drew him. God was drawing Chris Pratt out of that lifestyle and out of that life. And Chris Pratt came and started going to church and gave his life to Jesus. And then we talked about this other boy. Show this picture. We talked about this boy right here. The See You at the Flagpole Day. When he was the only one who came out to stand at the flagpole and pray. He said he came out to that flagpole and was going to sit there and pray. He said, I was going to pray until somebody else showed up. And when nobody else showed up, his prayer to God was this, God, use me. Use this moment. May somebody go past me and see what I'm doing, and may it challenge their heart. This picture went viral. And people all over the place, and the prayer of this young man was answered in a dramatic, dramatic way. Even so much that on a random Sunday morning, a church in Woodstock, Georgia, is showing his picture this morning. He was sold out for Jesus, all the way in. All the way in. So I want to talk about maybe what that actually looks like. What does exactly it look like to turn and go north? I'll repeat that scripture, Deuteronomy 2:2. Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn and go north. This book of Deuteronomy is amazing. So after this, there's a lot of things that happen between them then and then going into the promised land. And they turn and go north. And they go through this territory and then that territory to get to the promised land. But on their way, Moses recounts all of Israel's rebellion towards God in their history. He recounts how their faithlessness in the wilderness caused them to be in the desert where they were. He recounts all this stuff. He recounts all of the things that they said that they wanted to serve God. They come out of Egypt, the big celebration, and they're not out of Egypt before too long. And Moses goes up onto the mountain. Remember the story? He goes up on the Ten Commandments, right? We all saw the old movie, right? He goes up on the mountain while the children of Israel are down on the base of the mountain. And what do? They're all excited about Moses going up. And no, that's not what they do. They said, Moses has been up there forever. Let's build our own gods. It's a great idea. Right? So they start throwing all of their gold and I love the excuse when Moses comes down, he sees this calf and they're worshiping this calf at the base of the mountain. He's like, can you imagine? Moses just came out of the presence of God to a people who are worshiping a calf. Right? And my favorite is the children of Israel's excuse. Well, we just took all of this gold, we threw it into the fire and out popped the calf. We make all kind of excuses, right? So you can come out of Egypt. You can come out of that place of bondage and still find yourself worshiping other gods. You can find yourself worshiping other things away, and you can find yourself, your heart drifting away from the things of God. And the thing that God wanted them to realize, when as Moses recounts all of this stuff, the thing that God's trying to get them to realize is, where are you at really? Where are you really at? The steps of AA, you need to know where you're really at. You need to realize, maybe this facade that I put on is not really who I really am. Maybe this is where I'm at in my walk with God. Greg Rochelle calls it the Christian atheist. That we acknowledge God with our mouth and we acknowledge Him in our brains, but we really deny Him in our lifestyle. Like, does Jesus really affect our lives? Do we walk in forgiveness? Do we walk in the love of God? Do we walk in, you know, the presence of God? We walk in the power of God. We can all of us go through our rebellious days. Amen? Can I just say, as I'm not pointing fingers to anybody, we all do this. We all walk in rebellion. We all live our lives in our own. We have times where we just go and we just do our own thing and go, oh yeah, God, right? Oh yeah, there's God. We all kind of do that in our lives. It's human nature, right? Be self-reliant and self-absorbed. We can all have. So I am not pointing fingers that aren't, what is that? You point one finger to other people and you have four pointing back at you. That is the truth. We are all in need of Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, who now through the cross, He levels that playing field, right? That no matter who, that all can approach. James says this. He says that we can confess our sins. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wrote that to Christians. He is faithful and just to put us. It's not a 40-year journey. It is a moment journey that God takes us from rebellion and says, no, there's Jesus, and He puts us in right standing with God. That you can sit here today and be in right standing with God, no matter what you've even done last week. It's not about that anyway. It's about the grace of God. Amen? But I want you to see what God takes them through. So God, in that moment, He does this. Listen to this, what He says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, just four chapters later. It'll be up on the screen. It says, these are the commands and decrees, the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. He's saying, this is the things that you need, the decrees, the commands, and the laws, so that when you get into the land, you'll walk in them, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and the commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised. Then He says this. It's called the Shema. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give today are to be on your hearts. You shall impress them on your children. You will talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. God says several things here, and he gives them the Shema. They ask Jesus, right? They said, Jesus, what's the greatest command? And he gives he gives this part of the Shema. Love the Lord your God with everything. Love the Lord your God. And then Jesus added, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the command that Jesus said was love God. And it wasn't just an ethereal way to love God. He tells us what we should do with how we should love God. God says that the things I'm about to tell you are not just for yourselves. These things that we learn are not just for ourselves. They're so that we can pass the baton, if you will, to the next generation. That this thing of faith is not just something that will last for our generation in 2018 or 19, whatever we are in. It's about to be 2020. Isn't that crazy? But this is something that we should pass on to our children and our children's children. Right? These are things that we shouldn't just keep for ourselves. He also tells them to obey. And then he tells them this, obey now, and then when you get into the promised land. It's going to be the way that you stay in the promised land. You know, the truth is, sometimes we get into the place where we've always dreamed. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a career, or maybe it's a quote unquote financial status, or maybe it's a ministry, or whatever that thing is. You get there, and the question is, will your character be good enough to keep you there? Once you're there, you may get there. God says you may get to the promised land, but it's you observing the Shema that's going to cause you to stay there. That you do love the Lord your God. You do love the Lord God with everything. And then he tells them this. So what does that look like? He said, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And then he says this. Then he says, you talk about them. Talk about them. Like, what is our conversation? Since I'm already way on your toes already this morning, let me just go ahead and stand a little bit further and get up on your ankles maybe a little bit this morning. Because, listen, God is calling us to a higher place. And let me just say this. Some of us aren't experiencing what God has, the fullness of what God's called us to do, because we're not carrying our part of the covenant with Him. Remember, this is a covenant. Remember, all that when you enter, they should have told you that. They probably didn't. They probably just made you come down forward and say a prayer, and then everything was hunky-dory. Well, what they should have done was, hey, you're entering into a covenant with Jesus. The blood of Jesus was spilt so that everything that belongs to God can belong to you. Peace, joy, provision. But what they didn't tell you, unfortunately, in your whatever the classes that you took or whatever the preacher said when he said, now everything that you have belongs to the Lord. You have not just given you have not just received Jesus as your Savior. You have now said, God, now everything I have belongs to you. It's a response, right? We have been given, and now God says, it's all mine. We entered into a covenant relationship with God. And so listen, God takes covenants seriously. So that if we hold up our end of the deal, we walk, we give God our lives. Right? Jesus said it like this, give and it shall be given to you. Right? Not just it shall be given to you. No, Jesus said like this, give. You hold up your end of the deal, and I'll hold up my end of the covenant. Give, and it shall be given. If you show mercy to others, God will show mercy. You forgive and you'll be forgiven. This is a covenant relationship that we've entered into. But listen, so many people, not in this church, it's other churches. So many people, they want all the provision and all the blessing and all the peace and all of this and all of that, but they don't want to live, they don't want to give their lives to the one who gave their lives for them. Let me just say, as a preacher used to say all the time, he used to say, it doesn't work that way. The promises of God aren't just automatic. They come as a person yields their life, yields their person, their everything to God. That's why Jesus said, like this is so not in my notes. That's why Jesus said it like this in the book of Revelations. He says, I wish you were either hot or you were cold. But because you are lukewarm, I don't really know what to do with you. The words he uses, not mine, this is God's words. I will spew you out of my mouth. You can do without what you want. But see, if you're on fire for God, if you're living your life fully for Him, God says, I can use you, I can move you, whenever I ask you to do things, I can move through you, I can give your life, and you can be prosperous. And I know that if I prosper you, you'll be a funding of the kingdom. I know that if I give to you, you'll use your energy. If I give you education, I know that God will, you'll use that for God's glory. I know that because you're on fire. You're on for me. You're sold out, as it were. You're all in. All your chips are in. And if you're cold, God says, I can draw you. I can woo you to myself. I'll bring laborers across your path. I'll bring people around you. I'll show you my goodness. I'll send you to Hope Church. You can be around a bunch of great people. And then you can find God. But if you're lukewarm, if you've got one foot on one side of the fence and the other foot on the other, you're trying to live this dual lifestyle, God says, what am I going to do with you? Are you my child? Yes, you're my child. But I don't know what to do with you. I've already wooed you. God's calling us. You're saying, why? This is like, let me just say, this is what we do at church, right? Our goal is God's goal, God's vision for this church is that we say it like this. We want to help people get closer to God. It's really that simple. It's that simple. If you're far away from God, man, we want to woo you right into who God is and experience His goodness. With a bunch of like-minded believers. Man, if you're already all sold in, we want to help you get closer because let me tell you something, you'll never experience the fullness of God here on the earth. So there's always closer, amen? There's always nearer. That's our goal. So what this message is, this is a foundational message for who we are as Hope Church. To stir up one of our pillars of our church is passion. To stir up, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to stir up some passion in us this morning. So that we'll no longer, I'm all in. It's too late for me. It's too late, right? I'm all in. We say, well, you're the pastor, you're supposed to be. I was all in long, long time ago. We pay you to be all in. If I waited to be all in, well, there was a moment when I was born again, when I was in middle school. I asked Jesus, our youth pastor had this cool thing set up, and I experienced the love of Jesus, and I acknowledged Him as my Lord and as my Savior. Little did I know, a few years later, my dad was going to pass away and my whole world would be turned and flipped upside down. My mom would kind of go off and do her own thing, and here's a 16-year-old boy alone trying to figure life out. So I spent that time of just, I went crazy. I wish I would have said, I turned to God. No, I didn't turn to God. I turned to everything but God. But when I was 21 years old, I'm 50 now. When I was 20 years old, I said, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from everything. I'm tired. Running is exhausting. Running from God is exhausting. I said, God, I'm tired of running. So God, I say, I'm all in. One Tuesday night, beginning of April 1991, I said, God, I'm all in. And as God is my witness, and some of you have known me for a long time, I've never turned back. I've been all in ever since. I've seen difficult times, and I've seen great, amazing times. But through all of that, like Jessica said this morning, God has been faithful every step of the way. Whether I was in a prison cell, I wasn't in a prison cell. Whether, what is that word? What's that word? It's the, never mind. Not a real prison cell. A metaphorical prison cell. Thank you, Jessica. I need you. A metaphorical prison cell. Or if you were in a real prison cell in a right tie. God was with me every step of the way. He was with me every step of the way. All in. All in. But let me tell you, the worst parts of my life weren't parts when I was sold out all the way in for God. The worst difficult times through all those seasons is when I tried to live both. And when I tried to live one side in the world, in the world system, in the world's care, and trying to do it my way, and one side trying to live for God. Those were the worst times because it's weird. Because there's a moment of like kind of experiencing God, and there's this play where you're just living in condemnation and like, good, no, condemnation. It's all this weird blend. And God says, no. I've called you into the promised land, which is all in. And when you get to the promised land, stay all in. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. It changes everything. So yeah, talk about it. Oh yeah, your ankles. I was on your ankles a minute ago. Let me get back on your ankles now that I've said some really positive things. What do you talk about in your home, around your kids? That's the command, right? You shall talk about these things while you're in your home. You'll teach them to your children's children. And let me tell you, this is not meant to bring any condemnation. This is maybe a correction. Correction is good. Correction means God still loves you. Remember, God said that if he disciplines you, that means you're still his son or daughter, right? If it's somebody else's kid, you're like, whatever. But my kid, I'm going to discipline my kids. That's the way God feels about you. So if God disciplines you, it's a sign of your sonship or daughtership. So he said, talk about them. What are our conversations in our lobby of our church? What are our conversations as we talk among each other? The Bible talks about that we're supposed to encourage one another daily, as it's called today, so that we don't fall in and be deceived into the deceitfulness of sin, the Bible says. What do we talk about? Because when you talk about it, this is what the Lord gave me while I was doing this. When you talk about the things of the Lord in your home, you know what you do? You normalize. You normalize this kind of talking. You normalize it. That in my home, my kids know. In our home, talking about the things of God is normal. We talk about these things. We talk about how to live a godly life. We talk about the principles and things of God in our home. He said, talk about them. In your home. Normalize these things in your home. Normalize these things. What I used to love and still love, especially when I was full-time working at a dealership, I love talking about the things of God to unbelievers. Because you know what happens? In my own personal circles, they became normal. I found that a lot of people, they're not against God. Well, not this church, but they're against church. Can we just be honest? Come on. We got work to do. We can normalize. You can normalize conversation. I just would talk freely about the things. I wouldn't be weird, you know. You know, like, that's a whole nother message. Please don't be weird. Just talk normally. You know, every other thing doesn't have to be hallelujah when you're at work, right? Every other thing doesn't have to be, you know, your little Christianese words that you use, right? Talk about God in normal terms. Please, please, please. Because God is a normal supernatural God, right? It's normal to introduce God into our lives all the time, right? It's only weird if you make it weird. That's really good. Spoken by the hype man. Hype girl. Hype human. Talk them when you're in your home. Talk about them along the road. My wife, yesterday, we were picking up pumpkins. Just forget my notes. My wife was picking up pumpkins yesterday at... because we're doing an illustration. Let me tell you what they're doing for your kids today. Julie and Michelle are back there right now, and they're talking about pumpkins and how pumpkins are like your walk with God. And so what you do is what happens is God cleans up the outside of you know, the pumpkin. He cleans up your outside, and then what he does, he doesn't cut your head open, but you take the top off. Wouldn't that be great? Just God, just go ahead and do it. Just take it. And replace it with a new one. That would be awesome. That's what he's trying to do when he says renew your mind. But that's another message too. But what he does is he opens up and he takes all the icky stuff on the inside of you. And he pulls all that icky stuff inside. That's what he's teaching your kids. He's pulling off all that icky stuff on the inside. And then you know what he does? He carves out a little smiley face. And he changes that pumpkin into a happy. And then you know what he does? He puts his light in it. He puts the Holy Spirit in us. That's what they're teaching your kids last night. So what that means is we have to go to the grocery store and pick up 12 pumpkins. So Julie's over there. We're just loading up pumpkins. She goes, find the biggest one. So we're digging in the little pumpkin thing over at Walmart, digging up those little pumpkins. We've got the little small ones. Digging them all out. And you know what people are doing? What in the world? You guys are stealing all of our pumpkins. Like we're taking like, we took 12 pumpkins. So we have a cart full of 12 little pumpkins. This lady walks up, and she goes, what are you doing? And Julie's like, ding! I'm so glad you asked. Because you know why? Because it's normal to talk about the things of God. It's normal to talk that God takes out the icky stuff on the inside of you and puts a light of His Spirit on the inside of you. He puts His goodness on the inside of you. He puts a smile on your face because you become a person of God. And the lady went, wow, that's amazing. And she was like, now leave me alone while I get these pumpkins. But you talk about them. Talk about them when you're in a home. Talk about them when you're on the road. Talk about the things of God in normal terms. Talk about them when you're in the marketplace, in the car with your people, whoever's in your car. If you're driving a car and you got people in it, they're captive audience. You know, talk about the things of God. When you lie down, the conversations of you and your spouse, when you lie down, talk about the things of the Lord. Talk about the things of God. Have God-centered conversation. You know how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind? Talk about Him. You know what you're doing? You're turning north. North. And then when you get there in the promised land, stay there. So this compass, it points north. Actually, it points everywhere, but north. This is due north. That is due south. East, west, I had to look. I always get those backwards. You know what the compass is like? Or for you, a little bit younger, GPS is like? Like a compass, what is a compass? Why does it matter which way is north? Right? Who cares? This is what, in the olden days, people used. When I was a kid, thanks Mark, appreciate that. We did use compasses. Actually, I remember there was a compass on my dad's, on the GMC big red and tan van. Okay. But the compass, watch, a compass will tell you what's due north. But you know what a compass won't do? It won't get you there. The only thing a compass will do is tell you which direction to go. The only thing a GPS will do is it'll tell you how to get there. It's your job. It's your job to get there. It's your job, if God tells you to go north, to go north. That's on us. Now, the good thing about GPS, and it's very similar to God, is if you start going down the road, wrong place, it'll go,
recomputing.
Yeah. Yeah. Make a U-turn. If you keep going down the wrong place, it'll continue. Watch this. It'll continue to get you, find avenues and routes to get you to where you need to go. Just like God will. Continue. You can get off the path, but goodness of God is the goodness of God is just like that GPS lady on the GPS thing. I'm recomputing a path for you to get there. I'm reconfiguring a path for you to get there. So, turn and go north. Because let me tell you, it's not too late. Amen? I'm going to have my worship team come. Turn and go north. Let's all stand together as they come. Come on, just you and him while they get set up. Turn and go north. With your heads bowed this morning, your eyes closed, and you have your focus in on God, what is God asking you to do? Of all the things that we talked about, what is God asking you to do? Maybe, like in Revelations, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's a scripture to Christians. He said, "If you open the door, I'll come in and dine with you." Maybe your place right now is you need to open that door and allow God to come back fully in your life. Maybe you've been giving God just the leftovers of your life. When God called us to give Him our best. Maybe you're fighting that battle of lukewarmness. And God says, get off the fence. Come all the way in. Say, what does that look like? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. What does that look like? You putting Him first. When you wake up in the morning, maybe you need to find a devotional that you need to be doing on a daily basis to help you, to remind you on a daily basis. Maybe there's some podcasts that you need to start listening to help build your faith. Maybe you would say, you know what? I need to start serving. You start finding a place to serve. Or maybe you just say, you know what I need to start doing? This is going to hurt. I may need to start getting up a little bit earlier and making God really the first thing I do in the morning. And maybe that looks like you just putting on your favorite or finding some worship music, and just you and Him. But whatever way God's calling you to go, He's only giving you the directions. You have to walk it out yourself. I know I would give a big altar call right now, which is always the tempting thing to do, but I want God just to meet you right where you're at. If you're in this place, and all of us are, this is spoken to me, this message, like I say before, I get to repent like on Tuesdays when I prepare. If that's you in this place, do what God told the children. Acknowledge where you're at. Own it. That's where I'm at. I'm not faking it. God, I'm not faking it anymore. I'm not deceiving you, God. You know. But God, I repent. God, I've been going east when you want me to go north. Some of you say, I'm going south and I need to be going north. Just acknowledge that's where you're at. So we're all going to pray this together. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer because we could all use it. Let's just pray. Say, God, forgive me for not following where you'd have me to go. God, I repent. Forgive me. And God, I thank you that through Jesus and His sacrifice, God, you point me back north. God, that's where I want to go. I want us to do one more thing before we go. I want you to just, as they do this one song, let's do this first couple of choruses. But I want you to take a moment. This is not the person next to you. This is not the person around you. This is not what you feel like everybody expects you to do. This is you and God. I want you to reconnect with Him this morning. And just sing Worthy. If nothing else, that God is going to bring you back on the right path. He's worthy because He loves you and He's for you and He's directing your steps this morning. Go ahead, Jessica, start singing. Come on, just sing it out to Him. Just you and Him. It's just you and Him. You deserve. Jesus, you deserve. If you just need to get some things right with God this morning, just go ahead and do that right where you're standing. Right where you're standing. God's so good. Sing it out to Him. You alone. God, I'm all in. Come on, sing it out to Him this morning. God, you are. Be exalted, God. Exalted now in the heavens. One last time, let's sing it out. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
Worthy is your name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You deserve.
You deserve praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus. You deserve praise. Worthy is your name.
Jesus.